Hello and welcome to Kayncast, a podcast that provides commentary on the economy and financial markets by the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management Team.
Hello, this is Ben Falcone, Managing Director with Kayne Anderson Rudnick. And with me today, I have Chris Armbruster, Portfolio Manager of the Kayne Anderson Rudnick Midcap Growth Strategy. Chris, welcome. Chris, market returns were strong in the second quarter amidst more comfort around tariff policy and little signs so far of inflationary pressure in the economy. Momentum and low-quality stocks outperformed quality ones. Can you speak about how this strategy performed in the second quarter, both on an absolute and relative basis?
Never a dull moment with the Trump administration. Q2 2025 marked the coining of the term Liberation Day, where sweeping tariffs were announced on all of America's trading partners in what many assumed was a haphazard manner. In the subsequent days, the S&P 500 plummeted, falling nearly 20%, only to reverse course and set a new high just 55 trading days later. This is the fastest recovery from a 15% plus correction in the stock market history. The natural question is, why? Not only did the tariff bluster rile global trade relations, but a contentious budget bill has worked its way through Congress in the face of already spiraling deficits, and the U.S. took direct involvement in the Israel-Iran war, sending aircraft to destroy Iran's nuclear facilities. We would offer a few counterbalancing observations. First, for as volatile as the current administration can seem on the surface, it is consistently driving towards a few stable goals, putting America first by encouraging domestic investment, embracing technology to keep the country on the front foot for growth, monetizing its strategic advantages in relationships to foreign nations, and promoting a pro-business environment. While some of these policies might not be the best for every citizen, it is certainly a wind-at-your-back setup for many corporations and, in turn, their stocks. The mid-cap growth strategy had a strong quarter in absolute terms, but underperformed the benchmark, which remained remarkably influenced by a select number of large-weight, high-beta names. While those names rotated out of the benchmark at the end of the second quarter, their unusually large weight accounted for the majority of the delta in relative performance.
Chris, can you discuss a few of the portfolio holdings that were key contributors and detractors to performance for the second quarter?
The top five contributors to the mid-cap growth portfolio this quarter are content delivery platform Cloudflare, electronics connector maker Amphenol, Latin and South American e-commerce and fintech platform Mercado Libre, functional energy drink provider Celsius, and programmatic advertising platform Trade Desk. The name we would like to spend a little more time with this quarter is Celsius. As a reminder, Celsius is the maker of functional, sugar-free energy drinks that has disrupted a category formerly dominated by Monster and Red Bull. It is the only other brand to ever achieve a market share greater than 10%. We last covered this name as a bottom performer 1 year ago in the second quarter of 2024. At the time, Celsius was working through headwinds from decisions by its main U.S. distributor to reduce the amount of inventory it custodied. Additionally, Celsius was experiencing intensifying competition in the sugar-free category as the two category giants realized the need to address the subcategory that was now accounting for nearly 80% of overall industry growth. One tactic they used was to increase the promotional cadence in the subcategory, which had the attendant effect of taking back some share lost to Celsius. While we believe Celsius should reaccelerate sales as comps ease and retailer shelf resets lead to double-digit display gains, it also appears that the inventory resets from its key distributor are nearing an end, if not done entirely. However, the biggest news of the year so far was that Celsius made a strategic move, acquiring one of the fastest-growing functional energy competitors, Alani Nu, for what we consider to be a very reasonable price. Alani Nu has amassed over 5% share in the category through a tremendous connection with female consumers, limited-time SKUs, and smaller serving size offerings. Since almost 90% of its customers are female, its sales are highly incremental to the more male-dominated Celsius customer base. Additionally, Celsius will now plug Alani Nu into its distribution system to expand its reach and drive operating synergies while incorporating Alani Nu's learnings from limited time offerings and smaller serving sizes into the Celsius roadmap. Eventually, Celsius's toehold outside the U.S. could provide a jumping-off point to take Alani Nu's brand international. We are always sensitive to capital allocation decisions from our companies, and especially wary of large acquisitions. But from our perspective, it appears that Celsius's bold move was a good one for long-term value creation. The bottom five detractors from the mid-cap growth portfolio performance for the quarter were multi-carrier insurance broker Goosehead, car auctioneer Copart, fresh pet food pioneer Freshpet, pool supply distributor giant PoolCorp, and gas station convenience store operator Murphy USA. The detractor we wanted to focus on this quarter is Freshpet. Fresh and frozen pet food is taking share from traditional pet food as owners are willing to pay a premium for better quality products and longer lives for their furry friends. From our perspective, Freshpet has a differentiated offering with its selection of refrigerated foods stocked in fridges that are installed and maintained by the company itself at third-party retailers. Normally in high-traffic areas, these fridges are branded, carry solely Freshpet merchandise, and were typically the only refrigerated pet food offering in the store. When we last wrote about Freshpet in the first quarter of 2024, it had started to recover from a series of operational problems it faced coming out of the pandemic. Both gross and operating margins were inflecting, and sales had held up well, despite self-inflicted supply limitations. Over the past few quarters, a few new issues have cropped up, some of them seemingly connected. The company announced intentions to focus marketing on what they called MVP customers, which spend multiples of a Freshpet average customer. This is a subset of the HIPPO customers that Freshpet formally identified as a high-spending, high-priority cohort. Investors are now concerned that this signals the product's appeal might not be as broad as formerly assumed, and it also has translated into higher customer acquisition costs. The company believes that the non-MVP customers were experiencing more macro pressure on spend, and that marketing dollars would be more effective for the MVP segment, a line of reasoning that makes sense given the current consumer landscape. However, the sudden slowdown in the category might also indicate that fresh pet food might be more of a niche product that is experiencing some saturation. Adding to the negative sentiment was an announcement from a competitor that it would conduct a full-scale national launch of a refrigerated offering from its brand dog food. It will also provide the refrigerators, similar to Freshpet, and back the launch with what they are calling significant media support to drive awareness. We will certainly monitor this rollout closely and are doing work around whether the slowdown we have seen is truly limited to the non-MVP cohorts or if it's a tell that fresh pet food might not have the broad appeal that we thought it did.
Chris, are you seeing any impact of tariff policies or do you have any concern that tariff policies will have a meaningful impact on any of the holdings in this particular strategy?
Generally, we like to invest in businesses with goods or services that have pricing power. In times of existential shocks, like tariffs, these businesses can adapt to push through those additional costs to customers. This particular policy was so sweeping and happened so rapidly that it may take more time than usual to appreciate the full extent of its impact, and for companies to make the necessary adjustments. One place this hits home is for companies that manufacture outside the United States and then sell to the United States, or companies that provide services for companies selling cross-border, an activity which now comes with a host of uncertainties. However, there are other less obvious impacts that could cause disruptions. For example, much of the hardware that is used in IT infrastructure like data centers is manufactured in Asia, And if it becomes more costly to make or import that hardware, it could have a trickle-down effect on the ability to grow software deployments, for example, as all software needs to run on some piece of hardware.
Chris, has earnings growth so far this year been meeting your expectations within the companies and the strategy? And are there any areas of particular strength or weakness?
Earnings growth has been a little uneven so far in 2025, as macroeconomic conditions have made growth more scarce overall. We have strong areas of growth with names that are levered to the development and deployment of AI, for example. On the flip side, we have seen weakness in some housing-related names, which is somewhat predictable given the effect of interest rates on housing turnover. Many of the others that have experienced a growth slowdown have either been company-specific, like category softening, or cuts made by government and recontracting.
Chris, lastly, are there any areas within the portfolio that you feel the market is currently overlooking for their long-term potential?
Pocket of particular weakness within the portfolio that we just mentioned has been in stocks with exposure to the housing market. While not owning the home builders directly, a number of our holdings are exposed to the industry. Since interest rates have risen, housing turnover is at 30-year lows, and many homeowners are coming off of large pandemic-era investments in their home, leading to an air gap in demand. Household formation is still increasing, and there has been an undersupply of housing every year since the great financial recession of 2008 and 2009. Eventually, housing affordability will improve, whether through lower rates or increased supply. And when it does, we believe we are well positioned to benefit.
Chris, as always, thanks for taking the time to provide your insight to our Canecast listeners.
You've just listened to Canecast. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or Spotify. For more of our investing insights, head over to our website, www.cane.com. Canecast is the official podcast series of Kayne Anderson Rudnick Investment Management, CAR. This material is provided as a matter of general information and is not intended to be relied upon as a forecast or research. The opinions expressed herein are those of the speakers and are not necessarily the opinions of CAR or its affiliates, are current as of the date and time of the recording, and are subject to change at any time due to changes in market or economic conditions. The information and opinions contained in this material are derived from proprietary and non-proprietary sources deemed by CAR to be reliable and are not necessarily all-inclusive. CAR does not guarantee the accuracy or completeness of this information. This communication should not be construed as an offer or solicitation to purchase or sell any security. Individuals should consult with a qualified financial professional before making any investment decisions. Reliance upon information in this material is at the sole discretion of the listener. To the extent any performance is discussed, past performance is not indicative of future results.